Thank you. Now that's a brother I'm proud of. Don't ever be able to be afraid to interrupt and ask for prayer. Because that's what we're here for. Amen? I'm telling you. If we're not about the Lord's work, we're about no work. And we're of no worth. Well, today, we're going to speak about worth. We're going to speak about a worth that comes from someone who is far greater than all of us. And if you'll note, today's sermon title is Peace in the Midst of Turmoil. How about some of that? That's where we're talking, right? And as we look at the themes that we're going to be doing here through Advent, one of the things that I want to do is I actually want to tie it into the relativity of our day, okay? I want it to be relevant. So many times, you know, as pastors, we speak and we read all the scriptures and we talk about the birth that was and how wonderful it was. Well, it still is wonderful. But it has changed because that baby has gone into heaven and he is now fully a man. He is God eternal. He has returned to his eternal state and he is there on our behalf. Can you believe that? On our behalf, sinful sinners, sinful people such as ourselves. God is there, Jesus in flesh, before the Father in heaven, asking our petitions for our healing and for our health. And that, dear brothers and sisters, is our peace. Because once again, we have communion with God, not through anything we did, but through the shed blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross of Calvary. And that's where we have to begin. If we're going to understand where our peace comes from, we have to take it back to that beginning, because it was at that beginning that God made this statement. Ryan, if you would give me the first slide, please. Today, I'm going to have you on the screen rather than in the book because I need to know that we're all on the same page. And there's four slides that we're going to see today. And if you'll note, each of the slides has a different background. And the different backgrounds tie into the sermons that we were taught over these just past few weeks. That this is God's time, and we're going to be looking at winter, spring, summer, and fall scenery, because in the seasons of our lives, and how many of us have winters more often than we should have, right? We find ourselves there. But when we are there, God's word and God's promise is true. For from Luke 2 and 13 and 14, he says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, when we look at that, we understand that this is part of the Christmas story, and this was what happened when the shepherds were out in their fields that night, that the angels spoke to them. And the first word that they said to them was, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because God was in the midst of doing something. Because it's only God who can restore us to the position that we sold out so long ago. And then he says the next piece. And on earth, peace to men. Period. No. There's more to the sentence. Because God's peace is not on all men and all women. Not on all beings. God's peace is only on whom his favor rests. What does that mean? How does that apportion to us in this our day? It apportions to us in that when we accept Christ, we have accepted his favor, and now his favor through the power of the Holy Spirit rests upon us. For we have believed in his one and only begotten Son. This was spoken the night Christ was born. This is a reality that God prepared the world to receive through the prophetic utterance of the angels, that men would receive God's blessing. This is the greatest blessing that men could ever receive. Why? Because there is once again peace between us and God, as it was in the Garden of Eden when God walked with Adam and Eve in that garden. Now God can walk with us again. but only if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. As I said, this represents winter, because when we were in the death throes of our lives prior to accepting Christ, while we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. And we need to understand that there are a lot of people out there experiencing winter right now, death, cold, separation, isolation. And we need to help them come to a time when they can experience the springtime of life. Because in the springtime of life, there's a turning, Ryan, if you would. For from John 14 and 26 and 27, it says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When we come into that springtime, God does something wonderful in our lives. The peace that He affords us means He affords Himself to us, and that through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor whom the Father will send. And I think it's so amazing because He says He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. How many of us in Christ now see sin for the first time? Isn't it amazing? Because when you were in the world, did you see the things that you were doing as sin? When I was in the world, I didn't look at the things that I did as sin. I was just having fun. Today, I had several people ask me, "How you doing, Pastor?" And I say, "I'm behaving myself." I say that all the time. Because I now know the difference between not behaving and behaving. And I love it because I literally don't have to remember anything anymore. Because when you don't do things that you shouldn't do, you don't have to remember what you did and who you told what to. Because it's all truth. That's all you know. So it's what you give. And today I want us to think that when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, do we have to be reminded of everything? Do we have to remind ourselves of everything, or is it just there? I want you to think about that. There's a reality for you. There's my word, guys. Marked one down. Because when we walk in truth, when we walk in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is truth, when we walk in truth, we don't have to worry about anything. God is there with us. And guess what? That's our peace. Because when He's there with us and we don't have to worry about anything, we don't have to think about anything, we have peace in our being. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He is peace. And He gives us peace. And He allows us to touch, know, to climb right up in Dad's lap and hug Him and hold Him. And He holds us. The peace that we have with God is so real. Why do you think the world hates us? Why do you think it's so unpopular? You know, I look at this and Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." He says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." How does the world give things to us? With a lot of strings attached. Sometimes it's a rope and a chain. With an anchor on it. Amen? So when we understand God gives us this stuff, there is no anchor on this thing. There's no chain on this thing. He gives to us salvation, and it is free. Now, you all know the rest of the story. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. Because He says, if you wish to live, surely you will. That means all the sin has to go away. That means all the stuff that is not of God has to go away. It's going to cost you All that stuff that separates you from God. Now let me ask you this. Would you rather have all that stuff for about 84 years to 94 years? Or would you have all of God for all of eternity? I don't think there's much to put in the scale, is it? When we think about what Christ has afforded us, He has taken away from us hell and damnation and given us life. So you see, He does not give to us as the world gives to us. The peace He gives us is a lasting peace. The peace He gives us is an eternal peace. It lasts forever. It has no stipulations on it. Okay? There's no warranty. It doesn't run out. You know, I love that. You buy a refrigerator, it's got a 3-year warranty. When's it run out? 3 years, 1 month, and 2 hours, right? Just to make sure you're over the edge. I swear they got timers in them things. Okay? You know, it's just like your car. You got a 100,000-mile warranty on all the drivetrain, right? At 101,000, the transmission goes. And they say, well, you must have got a bad one because they generally last about 200,000 miles. So you put a new one in and they give you a 50,000 mile warranty on the new one. Guess how long it lasts? 51. Yeah. God does not give us as the world gives us. God gives us eternally. God gives us a reality that can never leave us. For God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But He'll walk with us. He'll be with us. He knows our hurts. Somebody asked me just recently, Pastor, when we hurt in our lives, when things are going bad and we really hurt, does God hurt with us? Can you answer that question, church? When we hurt in our spirit, does God hurt with us? Absolutely. We are His children, and we know the things of God because God has put His true attributes in our lives. We just saw it right here, brother. The longing for your child, for safety. That's the heart of God, that He would safety for His children. God's alive and well. Right here. And when you look at our world, when you look at the things that are happening out there, how many times do you read of a family where, you know, we just had one here in Pennsylvania where they starved a little boy to death? Is that the heart of God? Is that the heart of a parent, of a father, of a mother? No, that's not what God shows us, but that's what the world is. Because that child's a burden. God doesn't look at us as a burden. God looks at us as a blessing. And He wants us to be a blessing. And He has blessed us in Christ Jesus. But then we have to deal with that last sentence, don't we? That last sentence up there says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why would He put something like that in there? In the springtime of our lives, you know, we're walking in the Lord and everything's coming up roses, right? Why would He put that in there? Why would He do that? Because God knows the heat of summer is coming. And while we would all be on a beach somewhere relaxing, what happens if you stay out in the sun too long? You get burnt. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We have peace with God, but not peace with this world any longer. When we are part of this world, the one who rules this world kind of ignores us because He already has us and He doesn't need to worry about us. But when we are in Christ Jesus, we will have troubles. We will suffer persecution. We will see the difficulties that can come in life. Now, that also means, for the simple sake of it, that yet we are in this world, and how many of you here are sinners? Thank you, church. Because the reality is, we are sinners, and things happen to us. I don't know about you, but my hair, for one thing, has changed color and some of it is going away. That's part of life, okay? The sin that is in our bodies, we cannot stay young forever. We grow old and our bodies decay. We get cancers, we get diseases, and that is because of sin in our world. Not necessarily sin in our lives, but yes, sin in our lives too. Because as Adam and Eve broke covenant with God, they ushered in death through Satan. And in that reality, our bodies are wasting away, but yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day through the power of the Holy Spirit, because our spirits are being renewed, and that's the part of us that lives eternally. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. We don't have to worry about this world. He paid the price for our sins. He took upon himself our iniquity. And he rose from the dead on the third day to the glory of God. Can I get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Because in that reality, we find the peace that we all need. And that is the peace that God is with us even when we screw up. And nobody here does that, right? But isn't it amazing that when we do, the love of the Father says, we may be disciplined, okay? But it's not to harm us. It is to draw us near to Him. Isn't that what Hebrews chapter 12 says? For we are children, and God disciplines those He loves because we are true children of the promise. Because if He doesn't discipline us, then He doesn't love us. And when we look at the world and we see these people out there doing all this stuff and it seems like harm never comes to them, and we say, why, Lord? They can do all this stuff and nothing happens to them. Ah! Did you just hear what I said about what God says? The reason they're not being disciplined, the reason they're not finding hardship, is because they're going to find hell when it's all over. And that's for eternity. So they better make joy right now, because when they're in hell, there's nothing left to gain. Absolutely nothing. And they're going to realize how these short 84, 94 years really were. Amen? And we have to think that Jesus says here that we're going to have trouble in our world. Now, you know, I think this is funny, because this is where I want to talk about what happened at the Myerstown Parade. Today, in our society, for the first time in 20 years, the Christians have stood up and said, we ain't taking it no more. And the Democrats are still trying to count votes. Because they don't like the outcome. They don't have to like it, okay? But in our world, it's not popular to speak God's word. I want you to understand that. To stand on a street corner and speak God's word, you will be chastised. You will be chased off. And here we are in a parade, 109 different entries, and we win the judge's choice first place. Why do you think we won Judge's Choice first place? Because I'll guarantee you our float wasn't the prettiest. I'll guarantee you our float wasn't the most elaborate. But I can guarantee you this. Our float, our entry, was the only entry where there was a man of God standing on the platform speaking the word of God to the people. And the righteous judge of heaven said, first place. Because you cannot deny the word of God. For it will not return void, but it will accomplish the goal to which it was sent forward. And we need to remember, when those judges were hearing that word, the judge had their hearts. Because I was told by several people that when they stopped in front of it, the judges were standing there. I don't know if they couldn't believe what they were hearing or that they were completely astonished that somebody had the audacity in today's society to proclaim the Word of God that Jesus Christ is born, that the Son of Mary has come, and that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules in our lives. For He came to save sinners by grace through faith. Amen. And in that, God, the righteous judge, said, that's my choice, first prize. Because that's what matters. The rest of the floats look good, and I'm sure they did, and some of them probably proclaimed the truth, and praise to God, amen? But pretty and nice don't cut it. Truth is where it has to come. And the only truth we have is the Word of God. There is no other truth. We can make up a whole bunch of words, okay? 1 + 1 = 1 + 1 = that's natural math, right? 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Because we need to understand, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are
one.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. First two commandments Jesus gave, and then He gave a third one. What was the third one? As you are going, as you are going, teach, baptize. We need to remember we have a third command that we are to teach and to baptize everything that He has commanded unto the end of the age, and He will be with us always. When we think about what this is talking about, we need to understand we're going to be attacked, but Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and there's nothing in this world that can harm us. Now, it may knock us down from time to time, and we need to reevaluate. How many of you have ever been there where you had to check things out for just a little bit? Need to step back, take a reality check, and then move forward again, right? Because I have found myself there a lot of times. And I'll guarantee you, when you get knocked down, you need to look around and see what's down there, because God's trying to teach you something. He wants you to understand something about yourself, okay? So many people, when they get knocked down, they want to point at everybody else. Would you please look in the mirror while you're down there? He's talking to you. And He wants you to learn something. Sometimes it may just be grace, that we all need grace, don't we? Sometimes it may be that we need to change our direction a little bit. And sometimes it may just be the fact that we needed to slow down for a moment because we were getting too far ahead of ourselves. But whatever it is, learn it. Because if you don't, we'll be as Israel. And we're going to go around this thing another time. They did it for 40 years. Until there was no one left of that generation to learn anymore. But I'll guarantee you the next generation learned. Because they went around for 40 years too. How many of you want to go around this mountain again for 40 more years? Learning the same thing over and over and over and over. Isn't it amazing? I think it's funny because I can remember my mom telling me, how many times have I got to tell you? Just one more, Mom. Until the next time. But God says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And this is one of the things that I want you to understand. Our loving God is long-suffering, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, He and I have gone around the tree several times on several different pieces, and I'm still here to talk about it. So yeah, He's going to take us around I like to say it this way. He's going to take us around the barn as many times as we need to go around the barn. But remember what happens behind the barn. Okay? And you old folks know what that is. Somebody tell the young people. Because as we go around, we will find the joy of our lives. We will find that time of rest, that time of reflection. And yeah, a lot of us find time of rest and reflection in the summertime, but a lot of times in the summertime, things get heated up. And that's when you're here in Pennsylvania, it gets humid, it gets hot, and things just kind of cook. But then there comes a time of fall. And in the fall of our lives, things seem to cool down and take that respite, that vista. How many of us in the fall like to go to the mountains and just see the wonderful change of the fall leaves and drive the byways and you know, the little known paths, okay? Because, you know, I love this picture because the roadway there is filled with leaves. It's as if nobody's gone down that road before you. You know they have because there's a road there. But there, you know, it's like, oh, we're the first people to cut this new path. And this is all fresh and new just for me. And that's how God wants us to feel because He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. As you and I walk in the rest of God, in the peace of God, God will bring us to places where this is a fresh new road. There, it's going to seem like nobody's walked it before us. Don't be afraid. Remember, God sent Christ. He sent Jesus, and Jesus wasn't afraid. He came, He obeyed God, He did what the Father commanded Him, and now all glory is His. What do you think is going to be our reward for those who have trusted Him? He's going to give us the same glory. Remember, He says we're going to be His bride. We're going to be one with Christ. Remember what being married means? The two become one. Do you folks realize that means we're going to become part of the Trinity? Okay, I don't want to get outside and talk some heresy here. Okay, it doesn't mean we're going to become gods. No, but we are going to become part of the Trinity. We're going to be able to commune with God as God communes with Himself. We're going to be able to have that place, that love of God, with God, in God, that He has in Himself now. Because God says, this is the same love that I had with the Father, and I'm going to have it with you. And you're going to have it with Him because you're in me. Because I am in you, you are in me. Because He is in me, I am in, you know, all that stuff that we kind of like, how does that all work? I can't wait to find out. Because I'm going to know a love of God that goes beyond anything comprehensible. But in the meantime, we have a task to perform. He says, go. I am sending you. Don't be afraid of that new road, no matter where it may lead. Because I'll guarantee you, I had no idea 25 years ago when I started walking with Christ again that my wife and I were going to end up here. Had no idea that I was going to know all you wonderful people. I had no idea the adventures that you were going to bring into my lives as I see each of you progressing. And I get to be a part of that as I pray for you, as you, you know, contact me and say, hey, Pastor, this is going on. And I'm fervently seeking the Lord in prayer. And then I see God moving in your lives and your lives changing. We're part of a process. And I'm going to continue down this road whether you want to go kicking or screaming. Because I know it's where we're supposed to go. And how many of us like children, I mean, can you all remember? I can remember being with my mom and dad. Now, I never did these kinds of things. But my little sister, Carol, we would go into the store, and Carol didn't want to be in the store. She would literally throw herself on the floor and start screaming and rolling around, and people would be looking like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with that child? And my mom would just look at them and say, I have no idea. She must have a demon. I remember one time in Hill's Department Store. How many of you remember Hill's Department Stores, right? My sister's on the floor. She's rolling around and screaming. And this woman comes over and says, do you need medical help? She says, no, but she's going to if she doesn't stop. Truth as I stand here. But as we're going, we're going to be like those little kids. We're going to throw temper tantrums because I don't want to go that way. Trust your Father. Trust Him implicitly. Because the paths He has chosen for us are paths to bring us into His righteousness. They are paths to bring us into His will. They are paths that are going to change us to be the image of His Son. So when He says, go, go, don't be afraid to go. Go. Go slowly. Brother Rick always says, we have to learn to crawl before we can walk. No, before we can run. Because so many of us, you know, we look at these little ones, okay? And Ryan and I were talking the other day on the phone, and he was laughing because their youngest here, he's trying to crawl. And he would get up on his hands and knees and just lunge forward and boom, down he'd go. And he was laughing and I loved it because here's a little one trying to figure it out. Well, that's exactly what we are, aren't we? I don't care how old you are. You're still a little one trying to figure it out. And guess what? Dad's there, loving and laughing. And encouraging every step of the way. Because He wants to see His little ones grow up. And that day will come. For many of us, it's going to mean graduation from this world. Amen? Okay? I'm still growing up. I got a long way to go. And I really do believe we have a short time to get there. Because we are seeing the great awakening in our world right now. Many Christians' eyes are being opened. And what follows the great awakening? The great falling away. We need to make sure that people are rock fast, steadfast in their faith. That's what I'm here for, to teach you these things, to understand that Jesus is our peace. And as He has breathed upon us, this is my final scripture. As He has breathed upon us, that's breath of life. Jesus is life. And as He breathes that life upon us, He breathes the Holy Spirit into us. And as we have received that Holy Spirit, we are then truly alive. Amen? And guess what we get to do with that life? We get to pass it on. You know, I was going to end again today with a song, like I did last week. But I don't know that it's in our hymnal. It only takes a spark. I don't think it's there. It is? If it's there, I've missed it. Oh, is that what it's called? Pass it on. I'm looking for It Only Takes a Spark. No wonder it ain't there. Number 503. Yeah, right there it is, the first one. I'm looking for It Only Takes a Spark. This is one of Miss Leslie's favorite songs. And I want us to read it like we did last week. Number 503. I want us to read it. Because, brothers and sisters, this is so true. And, you know, I want us to understand that this is all it takes. This is all it takes because it's all it took in our lives. The spark of life. The spark of life. The breath of Christ. And each of us is now alive. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring. when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing, it's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness I've found. You can depend on Him. It matters not where you are bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know. The Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. Jesus passed it on to us. When He came, He lived His life, and He passed that life to us. And now it is for us to live in Christ Jesus and pass that life on, that others may know the peace of God that we experience every day. Would you pray with me? Precious God, we thank You so much that You have loved us and that You give us the hope of glory and that You move in our lives that we may know You to a fuller measure every moment of every day if we are committed to You and to Your will and to Your way. Lord, as we open our lives to Your Word and to Your being, to Your Son, Jesus the Christ, I pray that each of us here through this Advent would experience an increase of love and light in our lives, that we would know that You are real and that You have a plan and a purpose for each of us, and that is to spread the light of Advent. For Lord, there is a day coming. A day in which You will reckon Your own to Yourself. And Lord, in that day we pray that all our loved ones would be there. So help us be that word of life, to be that breath, that spark that ignites their fire, that they may know the peace that You have given them, that they may find the hope of glory, and that they may see the coming of the Lord as the bride, and not in doom. For these things we give Thee grace and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.